un, 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 un.
I just wanted to hear you say one more time.
You gotta do it to the
there
beat.
There we go.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Law and Disorder. Coming at you with Law and Disorderly news for the week of March the 11th, 2024. Before we get too far into this. Oh, go ahead.
I know. It's like another week of news. We're already halfway through March.
I know. It really is halfway through March. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, the days are getting longer.
Oh,
days
yeah.
are getting warmer.
Days are getting... Oh, yeah, yeah. We can talk about that, too. We can briefly talk about that. Before we get too far into it, let's thank the sponsors. Let's thank Wavespace Audio for the music and Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish and Google product needs.
Thanks, guys.
So, yeah, first things first, we had the time change. Let's talk about that briefly. We had the time change where you spring forward, right? Is that what you do?
Yes. You spring forward and then fall back.
We sprung forward at the beginning of the week. And I don't know about you, but like I've been all beat up trying to figure out what I'm doing here with life. Like I can't quite figure out my schedule. Like I feel horrible every day.
Oh no. Like with the light difference.
The light difference. And like that 1 hour makes a world of difference, apparently. Like I've been kind of blah all week. Like blah, blah. Like I didn't think I'd be that bad.
I was really confused this past weekend because I knew we were going to spring forward, but I thought we were going to spring forward like Sunday night into Monday. And then I woke up Saturday because the spring forward was Friday night into Saturday morning. And I woke up and I didn't even realize that we had sprung forward an hour because, you know, your phone automatically, you know, changes and updates the time. But my husband had already gone around the house and adjusted all the clocks on like the microwave and the oven. And so I just thought it was a normal day.
But it springs forward. You said Friday into Saturday. No, it's Saturday into Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Saturday into Sunday. Excuse me. But I woke up Sunday. And I didn't know we had sprung forward because all my clocks were already adjusted. And I just thought it was a normal day. And I'm like, oh, we spring forward tonight. And he's like, no, we are forward. And I'm like,
we already did it.
What do you mean we already did it?
Yeah, it's just weird. It's weird because we're still to that point of the time of year where it's dark in the morning. I believe as the days, you know, as we get closer into the spring and the summer, I think the sun does start coming out earlier, but right now it's dark and then the sun's just now going down, which is great, but it's still kind of like you're in that part of the year where you're not really getting the full advantage of all of it, you know, cause like in the summertime, you'll start getting, the sun doesn't start going down till like 8:30, 9 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
You know, right now it's still going down kind of early, compared to the summer. So you're like, you're not really getting the full effect yet. So it really takes a couple of weeks for it to really like sink in. And it's just weird. I'm not going to lie. It's just weird. I don't like it.
Yeah. Aw. I like it because I feel like already my days are longer. I don't feel... Because when it gets dark outside, I immediately feel tired. I'm not a night person. I'm definitely a morning person.
Mm-hmm.
So when it got dark at, you know, 6... like it does in the winter. It's like, oh, it's bedtime. Let's go. Let's go sleepy sleeps. So when I get off work and it's still so bright outside, I feel great because it's like, oh man, I can go home and I can go for a walk. I can walk my dog. I can do some yard work. Except, I can, you know, do whatever.
Except in Texas, we get thrown off because the weather is so weird. So this week has been kind of warm, but then I think next week's supposed to get chilly again. And your body's like, no, I want to be inside and be warm and cuddled up under the blankets, but there's still sun coming in through my blinds. You know, the weather here is weird and it throws off like you're like psychologically. You're like, I just want it to be one weather, one type of weather. I need it to be one type of weather while the sun is the way it is. I don't want it to be hot and cold. Cold weather when it's nice outside sucks. It's like you don't want to be outside.
And then hot weather when it's nice outside also sucks.
I know, it all sucks.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we all sprung forward. We're all working through that. So let's get into the rest of the news. What else is going on in the world?
Yeah. So we'll start off with kind of a bummer story, but a very popular manga creator named Akira Toriyama had passed away earlier this month. He actually passed away at the beginning of the month. And you might not know who that is off the top of your head, but this is the man who actually created the Dragon Ball manga, which was later turned into like the Dragon Ball anime show. He created
Oh.
that, and he actually just recently passed away at the age of 68.
Oh, wow. He was pretty young.
It turns out that he passed away from a blood clot in his brain. And the reason we're just kind of finding out now is because, it happened and his family wanted some privacy, so they had their privacy and then announced his death publicly a couple weeks later.
So, Dragon Ball came out in like the mid-90s, right? Or was it?
Actually, it came out a little bit earlier than that. So the manga series, which is like the John, that's like Japanese comic books, a manga. It actually first came out in 1984.
Oh, wow.
That's when it first came out, and it was turned into an anime, which I think a lot of us are familiar with, in 1989.
So,
And it didn't take long before it became, it blew up, and it's one of the most recognized animes and mangas in the world of all time.
if it came out in 84, I mean, he died at 68 in 2024. So it came out 40 years ago. So he was like 28, huh? He was, I mean, he did all that pretty young.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is kind of young. I mean, that's a few years younger than I am right now, so I couldn't imagine creating something like that and watching it gain as much popularity as it did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that thing, I mean, now it's in an entire new generations, like people your age that grew up on it now have kids, so their kids are enjoying it. So it's something that's been around at least two generations dang near. So, wow, that's kind of sad. Thanks for starting it off on a bummer.
I know. I didn't want to save it for last.
Let's just start off all sad.
But I will say it makes you appreciate it more. My husband's a Dragon Ball fan. He collects Dragon Ball cards, and he was a little bummed when he found out. And everyone's showing their love and their support and gratitude for what he gave us. So if you've never heard of Dragon Ball, you've never watched it, you never read it, you could check it out. It is a classic. I used to watch Dragon Ball Z a lot when I was a kid. That was really popular, so I kind of know some of the characters. So yeah, I kind of it was a little sad to think about, but we have a lot of cool work from him, and there are actually a lot of unfinished projects he was working on as well. So we'll see whether or not those get finished and developed.
Okay, yeah. So I guess so we're starting off talking about death. Let's just keep death rolling for now. Let's just go into the next death story.
Okay, but this isn't like people death.
No, it's not people death. Not yet. That comes
Not
later.
yet. Well, I wouldn't call it a full death yet. We'll call this a half death of TikTok. So there is a bill currently being voted on to ban TikTok in the United States, and it actually just passed the House today, as of this recording. So that's kind of scary. Well, not scary. It kind of sucks. I love TikTok. 170 million other Americans also seem to love TikTok. And so now it has to move on to the Senate to be voted on, where if a majority of the Senate, then votes for it, it moves on to President Biden's desk to be signed into law. And he's already come out and said that if it makes it to his desk, he will sign it.
Yes, and it was a big vote. I mean, it won 352 to 65. So it was bipartisanship at its finest. I mean, there was a ton of them that signed on it. It was 50 Democrats and 15 Republicans that voted in opposition. But 352, you know, that's a strong outing on any bill, you know, especially nowadays whenever they're fighting about everything. But they were on the same page about this. And so if the legislation passes, it would prohibit TikTok from U.S. app stores unless the social media platform is spun off from ByteDance. Because ByteDance is right there. They're a Chinese company. Is that what it
is? Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it gives them approximately 5 months to sell TikTok. And if it doesn't happen in that time, it would be illegal for the app store operators such as Google and Apple to make it available for download. So this is something we had talked about last week. And, you know, we're like, it's a possibility that it could happen. This was, you know, this was a bill that was being presented and we knew it was coming up this week. Now you're actually seeing this thing, like you're seeing the wheels in motion.
I am just so confused why it just seems like they are, at least for the House at this point, it takes so long for them to argue and vote and try to pass bills in regards to anything else. But when it comes to banning TikTok, everyone is in agreement. I just find that fascinating. I don't know what I'm going to do if TikTok actually gets banned. I watch a lot of TikToks. I like to watch it for news. I like to watch it to learn, you know, hobbies like planting and cooking. And I like Book Talk, which is a section of TikTok where you can review books and, you know, follow other people and their recommendations when it comes to books. So this is gonna make a lot of people upset.
Oh, if yeah.
If it passes.
Oh, yeah. You ain't kidding. So we have 341 million Americans. That's how many people are in America right now, approximately. And do you know how many people are on TikTok? According to this article?
Yeah, it's like half that. Like 170
million. Yes, mm-hmm. 170 million people. Half of America is on TikTok. And according to TikTok, if this bill is signed into law, they're saying it'll impact hundreds of thousands of American jobs and take, quote, billions of dollars out of the pockets of creators and small businesses. Billions with a B.
I just realized, yeah, that could affect people's livelihoods.
Yeah, like influencers and all that stuff.
Yeah, you think about all the influencers that, you know, have built and worked hard building their platform on TikTok to gain a following and earn a living that way. And in 5 months, that could all just go away. And like, what are they going to do?
Get a real job.
Now, granted, they might go on YouTube or, you know, whatever.
Get a real job. They'll go get a real job, like the rest.
They'll get a real job. Okay.
No, I mean, yeah, it will impact a lot of people, and you know, they're saying that there's still a lot of like red tape to come through because it's not as simple as saying, "Oh, if you sell the company, then we'll let you in, like we'll let you stay," because they're like, there's not really a way to completely disconnect it from this Chinese company. I think that's what I was reading, is that it's not as cut and dry as they make it sound for. What's it called again? ByteDance?
ByteDance.
They're saying it's not as simple as just saying, hey, we're going to sell it, and then that's it. Now we can use TikTok in America. But I don't know. I'm kind of in awe that they were able to come together and say, hey, we can't come together on, on the budget. We can't come together on immigration. We can't come together on healthcare. But we're going to come together on social media, on this one social media platform. You know,
that could literally, you know, cause a huge disruption in our economy.
Yeah.
on just the chance that our data might get, you know, hacked, which, you know, my data has been hacked, not on TikTok. I've had people hack my bank account. I've had people hack my Facebook. So I don't think it's if. You know, I can be hacked on anything. So why TikTok? Why the sudden?
It's okay for us to get hacked in America. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay for us to get hacked by an American company. It's just, you know, for them to monitor us. But it's not okay for the Chinese to do it. But it's okay for your for you to have a data breach for your bank account. For you, there was a data breach for my MGM rewards. Like when I go to the casino, I got my little player's card. There was a data breach on that a couple months back. It's okay to do all that. It's okay to allow all this to happen. But TikTok's the one that you're going to pick a fight with, you know? And this and that's not financials. TikTok doesn't have your financials. Chase Bank does have your financials. MGM Casino has my financials, you know, like date of birth and all that stuff. Like, you know, it just seems weird. I mean, TikTok doesn't take all that information. They can get it just like anybody else, I suppose, but.
Well, one theory I heard that was also behind this, and again, this is just a theory, is that because so many people use this platform, especially younger generations like millennials and the Gen Zers and now even like the Gen Alphas, I think they're called, they're able to get news and information that other generations couldn't get as easily before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these a lot of people are saying that these people in our, you know, our politicians basically want to keep the younger generations, like, I don't want to say dumb or in stupid, the dark, but like they want to keep them uneducated and uninformed about, you know, what's going on in politics, what bills are being passed, you know, things like that. And like, I get a lot of that news from TikTok because it's quick, it's easy. I get, you know, a snapshot of what's going on.
Well, and the thing too is that if you, like, I got somebody posted something on Facebook today. One of my friends posted something about making fun. They were making fun of women getting their eyelashes done and, doing their eyebrows and making them like really weird and look stupid. And I posted a funny like meme, and then I got a thing from Facebook probably like a minute after I posted it saying that it could be considered bullying or hate speech and I should remove it. It didn't remove it for me. It just said that it could be considered that. But it was within like a minute or two. And I'm like, it wasn't anything. It literally was just making fun of somebody with some bad eyebrows. And I was like, okay, the Facebook police is like right on it. You know, TikTok's not quite to that level yet. Like you can post something on TikTok and it could be offensive, which there is a lot of offensive stuff on there. And it might not ever get taken down. It might not ever get flagged. It's not like Instagram. It's not like Facebook. It's not even like Twitter where they have that thing pretty tight where it's hard to do stuff. We've had stuff like that happen. We've had our show pulled down because our music was copyrighted and shouldn't have been played when in fact it wasn't copyrighted, you know? And that's been like real time while we're doing a live show. So yeah, their checks and balances are a lot tougher. Their standards are a lot tougher on these American companies. And that's probably, like you said, that kind of goes to the fact that it's harder to silence people on TikTok because it's just not really, that platform's not really set up that way. It's really pretty free. I mean, you see stuff on there that you're like, should that even be on here? Like it's kind of risque and stuff, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So the stuff that you would see normally get taken down on Instagram or on Facebook is not the same on TikTok. It is very much more lawless in that regard. They're a couple of years away from that happening. So you're right. I mean, I think I kind of agree with you that there's not much conspiracy there. I mean, it is. It's hard to stop them from doing mm-hmm. from posting stuff. So yeah, I can see where they would want to censor that. You know, they want to censor people a little bit more. There's no TikTok police.
Man, I wonder if there was, we would be having this issue. Who knows?
Who knows?
I guess we will see what happens when it moves to the Senate.
Mm-hmm. That should be coming up soon.
Yep.
What else we got going on in the world?
Do you know a good old store called the Dollar Tree?
Yeah, but it's not even called... Well, it is the Dollar Tree, but it's not a dollar anymore. It's like $1.25.
It is. It's you know, that's such crap. But so Dollar Tree, the company, they actually acquired Family Dollar, which is another like dollar based store, mm-hmm. lower income store. But so they acquired them and things aren't going as good as they had hoped. So I found an article that I wanted to discuss, and it's basically saying that Dollar Tree combined with Family Dollar, because it's all under the same umbrella now, will be closing up to 1,000 stores before the end of summer 2024.
Really?
1,000 stores.
You know, that seems odd because they're all full whenever I go there. Anytime I ever go buy one, they're full. Now, you know that they have Family Dollar and they have Dollar Tree, and then they have a store that is a 2-in-1. I wonder if this is the 2-in-1 store that they're closing. It's literally on the sign. It says Family Dollar, Dollar Tree.
And I've never seen that before.
I've only seen them when we've traveled, when we've gone on road trips. I've seen them in, like, smaller towns. I saw a few whenever we went to St. Louis, so, like, Midwest type area. I've seen some going towards California, like New Mexico, Arizona. But, yeah, I wonder if this is what they're shutting down. I'm not sure, but it's literally both stores in one.
So they must be shutting down some of those, but then they're also going to be closing just Dollar Trees and just Family Dollars in what they're calling, quote, unprofitable locations.
Where? Everywhere I've seen them, they're busy. They have them in prominent cities in Dallas, like prominent suburbs, and they're always full.
Of people?
Yes, they're always full of people. Because you can get such, like, my wife works in North Dallas, so she works in a nicer part of Dallas, like with a nicer clientele of people or demographic of people. And she's always telling her managers, like, if you're going to buy this, if you're going to buy that for your employees, go to Dollar Tree. She goes, it's the exact same thing you can get at Walmart, and it's like a fraction of the price. And now they started believing her, like, holy crap, we didn't know this stuff was this cheap, and it's the exact same thing. It's literally the exact same thing. It just costs way less. Like, you know, like trinkets. Like, when you give your employees trinkets for doing a good job, whatever, it's like, yeah, it's cheap. It's at Dollar Tree. Christmas decorations, you can get, during Christmas, man, that place is crazy. Christmas and Halloween, that place is nuts.
I don't shop there a whole lot, except when I want to get, you know, like, I like to go there for paper products, especially, like, wrapping paper.
Oh, yeah.
Or gift bags, and then I like to buy, like, little snacks, like candy, or chips, if I'm going to the movies, sneak that in, things like that.
Dude, I guarantee you that between the greeting cards and the wrapping paper and the bags and their helium balloons, that right there alone can keep most of these busy. Like, I mean, that's the place to go. If you want to get a balloon, that's the place to go. They always have like dozens of them ready for you to pick up. They're already ready, and then they got a book. And you can pick whichever one you want, and they pull it out of the drawer, and they'll inflate it. And it's $1, $1.25, whatever. Like, it's so much cheaper than going to Party City.
So, I'm seeing in this article that even though 1,000 stores are closing, as of the end of Q4 2023, Dollar Tree, the umbrella, had over 16,000 stores across the country.
Gosh.
Just over 8,000 Dollar Trees, and then just over 8,000 Family Dollar stores. And they're closing 1,000 stores. That is so weird to think about, that there are 16,000 stores.
It's like Walmart.
Give or take, you know, the ones that are like double. It's a single store with both company names on it. But, man, 50 states, 16,000 stores. Where do they all go? Like, that's just so weird for me to think about. And I'm like, man, is my local Dollar Tree going to close, the one that's in my town? Because I've only been to it once or twice, and it was dead. Like, nobody was there when I went. And when I drive by it, I never see more than 2-3 cars in the parking lot.
So the one thing I've noticed that goes on, especially out here east of Dallas, where they're building a lot of communities, and the communities still aren't, you know, they're still kind of rural, but, you know, they don't have a Walmart and a Kroger and all that yet. But the first store that pops up is like a 7-Eleven or a racetrack or a Quick Trip. They get a gas station, and the next thing that pops up is either a Dollar General, a Family Dollar, or a Dollar Tree. It's like they'll be out in the middle of nowhere, and it's been country for 40, 50 years. And they start building a whole housing division, and next thing you know, there's a gas station. And the next thing that follows is one of those stores. Before you get a Walmart or a Target or anything, you get one of those. And out here, you see that in all these little towns or little whatever providences or whatever the hell they're called that are just starting to pop up, these little neighborhoods. And they all end up with one of these stores, with some variation of this store. Like, that's the first thing they have. They might not get a Walmart for 10 years, but they'll have that at least. And that turns into the, like, the convenience store, or their corner store. Everybody's going to go there instead of driving 10 minutes into town to get, you know, get something from Target. So, yeah, I can see where they're everywhere, because they really are. That's like their thing. That's what they figured out. It's like, hey, we're going to come out here to these little podunk towns, and we're going to put a store out here. And we'll be cool for the next 5 years. Nobody will build out here. You know?
And I'm really surprised that this is happening too, because with the state of the economy in regards to inflation that's been happening in the past year, I feel like more people in general would be shopping at stores like Dollar Tree and Family mm-hmm. Dollar because of inflation. And you know that when you go to these stores like Dollar Tree, every single thing in there is $1.25. Now, granted, I have seen they have a section in there now of like $3 stuff and $5 stuff, and they do like show you and tell you in the store with signs like, hey, this is more expensive. But overall, that's great for people on a budget, because they don't have to worry about, you know, inflation, you know, price increases from 1 week to the next. It's all going to be the same, other than the one big, you know, 25 cent increase they did for all their products last year.
It's the Dollar's Tree. this area here is the Dollar's Tree. Not the Dollar Tree. It's the Dollar's Tree.
Dollars.
So, yeah, that sucks. You know, that's a lot of people are going to lose a job, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of people, but I know Dollar Trees in general are understaffed too, so it's not like it's as many people mm-mm. as it could have been.
You ain't kidding about that. They're all understaffed.
Mm-hmm. I think my store has like one person in it working like at any given time.
There's like a morning guy and a night guy, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move on. God, mm-hmm. we're still talking like death and like things going out of business and people getting shut down.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have another death news story. Sorry about that. But I wanted to talk about this one because for those that don't know, Sergio and I live and work out of the Dallas, Texas area, North Texas in general. And this article is specific to that or the city. So that's why I wanted to bring it up. And I thought it was kind of interesting because I didn't know about this. So a few weeks ago from this recording, a man named Paul Alexander died here in Dallas. He was 78 years old. And the reason that this was such a big deal is because Paul Alexander held the Guinness World Record for being the oldest person alive via the iron lung.
I still don't even know what an iron lung is. I just read the caption. What is an iron lung?
So I'll give you a little backstory. So Paul Alexander, he caught polio back in the 1950s. So there was an outbreak of polio in Dallas back in 1952, and he caught the disease, and it paralyzed him. The disease paralyzed him from the neck down, meaning not only could he not move his arms and legs, but he also could not control his own lungs. Like, he could not breathe on his own. So they had to put him in basically this tube. It looks like a tube chamber type thing
mm-hmm.
That controls the air pressure around his body that allows his lungs to, you know, expand and helps him breathe. So the pressure within the tube against his body inflates and deflates his lungs for him. And that's how he's able to stay alive.
And he did that for how many years?
Since 1952.
What? So almost his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, basically. So he had to stay in that since he was 6 years old. He died when he was 78. So that means he was in this iron lung for
72 years. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, even though, you know, he's obviously in a way handicapped, he can't, you know, leave the iron lung. He was actually able to learn how to do a lot of things. So he learned how to write using a pencil in his mouth. Same thing with like typing, painting. He would put a stick or some type of instrument in his mouth, and someone would hold up a pad or a keyboard, and he would be able to draw or type on it.
Wow, that is so cool.
And he apparently was pretty smart because he actually was able to get a degree in economics from SMU, Southern Methodist University. And he also has another degree, a law degree, from the
What?
University of Texas.
Okay.
He passed the bar exam and he practiced law here in Dallas.
Wow. So, I mean, talk about overcoming your disabilities. I mean, the dude only could do things with his head. That's wow, that's exciting. That's crazy.
That's great. And I'm not saying he wouldn't have been as successful had he not caught polio, but just look what he did with polio. Imagine if he didn't have polio and all the other
Yeah.
things. Like, what could have happened? What could he have done?
Imagine what he could have done, but you know, it's one of those things where life handed him a really bad deck of cards, and he could have gone downhill a long time ago. He was 6 years old when this hit him. I mean, he could have gone downhill a long time ago at 7, 8 years old. He had to be like really resilient. I mean, especially the last 72 more years. You know? Like that's something to strive for. I mean, there are people that have all their limbs and everything and a job and all that, and they hate their life. This guy here, he had every reason to not like life, and he took advantage of it to the fullest. You know? That's a
He
testament to
was a
him.
big he was a big advocate of, always trying and trying to work through your struggle, no matter what life throws at you, because you can do anything you put your mind to, and he is a great testament to that and proof
Yeah.
that you can do it.
He had faith in himself, you know? That's awesome. Man, that's cool. He lived a good life. I mean, he lived longer than most, you know, quote unquote healthy people did. So, you know, 78's a good life.
And just to say again, it was this past, it was just this month, I believe. So not that long ago, right before he died, he was given the Guinness World Record of being the oldest person to be alive via the iron lung.
That's amazing. You know, it's a sad story. I mean, it talks about death, but that's also really inspiring. I mean, that's an
It makes
inspiring
me kind
story.
of wish I could have like met him, or like listened to maybe if he gave a speech. He was on social media apparently. I had no idea, and I feel kind of bad because like he probably had so much knowledge and inspirational
Yeah.
words to give to people, and you don't see people in iron lungs anymore, because obviously a lot of them have passed on. I think that could have been such a cool experience to have gotten to meet him and talk to him. But I'll try to look up his social and see if he has some content
I'm sure he does.
posted that we can watch.
Man, that's cool. That's a good. It's still a feel good story in its own way, because you get to just hear about resilience and overcoming all this adversity. That's pretty awesome. So, we can't end news on a high note talking about great things that people do. We always have to end it with something weird that just makes you scratch your head, and this is my contribution to the episode.
Let's hear it.
I'm gonna give you the headline. And this I thought this would have been a Florida thing. It's not. California mom alleged ringleader behind $8 million retail theft ring that hit over 200 Ulta stores. This lady was a ringleader to a crime spree over a decade.
Over a decade?
Yes. So Michelle Mack, 53, and Kenneth Mack, their husband and wife, they were issued a warrant at the end of December of 2023. And according to the Department of Justice in California, When they raided the house, they confiscated over $300,000 worth of makeup and other products in their garage. So Mrs. Mack, she allegedly paid for airfare, hotels, car rentals, you name it, for up to a dozen women who would go out and steal and then mail it back to her house. And they would steal the stolen goods from like Ulta and Lens Crafters and Sephora and a few other places. And they would mail it back to her. And then she would turn around and sell it on her Amazon Marketplace account.
And this lady is a mom?
Yes. And they said that they called the group the, quote, California Girls. And they operated in more than a dozen states around the country. And the count to the Ulta stores is at least 231. They hit at least 231 Ulta stores nationwide. So it's the number's still counting. It could be more Ulta stores.
I'm looking at a picture of this lady, and you would not suspect her of doing any illegal activity ever. Like, she looks like the kind of person that would, like, sit outside with her kid when they wanted to have, like, a lemonade stand and try to sell lemonade. Yeah,
she looks super, like, PTO mom, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, dance mom or something. She looks pretty normal. And they said that when they raided the house, it was, quote, a mini store filled with beauty products, sunglasses, and designer bags.
Okay. Here's what's getting me. So, first of all, that's awful. I remember for a period of time last year, I was seeing a lot of videos of groups of people going into Ulta's and Sephora's and, you know, even like TJ Maxx and Ross's. And just stealing stuff, like grabbing whatever they can fit in a bag. And I'm like, why are these people stealing like 40 bottles of perfume? You don't need 40 bottles of perfume, and you don't need, you know, 56 tubes of mascara. But this makes more sense because they're not stealing that stuff just for them to use. They're stealing that so that they can sell it to someone and make a profit off it.
And
that makes so much more sense.
They got hit with 140 felony charges. So the wife, her husband Kenneth, and seven other members of the crime ring, they got hit with 140 felony charges that include conspiracy to commit organized retail theft, grand theft, and receipt of stolen property. And they're saying it's a multi-million dollar scheme. They said that the current losses are calculated at nearly $8 million. But the investigation is ongoing, so that total might rise.
Well, first of all, don't feel bad for the stores, okay? Because stores like Ulta and Sephora budget in losses like this. So they plan to lose merchandise like this. Lose, I mean like steal, but, you know, lose a profit off it. And they have a lot of, they get write-offs for this kind of stuff. I'm sure they have some type of insurance. So Ulta and Sephora are fine. Like, don't worry about them. I'm very curious to see, like, this woman, that takes a lot. Like, that takes a lot of passion and a level of, you got to be super smart to do something like this, right? So this woman was able to pull this off for a decade.
Yes.
Organized crime, you know, pay people, keep it under wraps, set up an Amazon storefront, ship product out, and keep doing this over and over without being suspected for a really long time. This is a smart woman. Why couldn't she apply that to doing something legally and having, you know, making a living? Because, like, this has ruined her life. Like, her and her husband are going to go to jail
for prison
for a long time. Mm. And what about their kids?
I know. But, okay, going back to how, you know, you're being this smart, you put this much effort in to commit crimes. So she was smart. She knew, she had done the homework to know what to steal. And that's one of the things that she would tell the people that she would recruit. One of the text message conversations that the police got is from one of the defendants to Mrs. Mac. And this person saying, I'm not stealing regular stuff. I'm going to start filling up my bag really quick. So I want to know the stuff that I can grab in bulk. That was the question that this person had to Mrs. Mac, to the ringleader. This Mrs. Mac knew, hey, you can get this in bulk. This is the easy stuff to get. This is the stuff that they're not looking out for. She was going for some of the big ticket stuff too, but she was also looking at it from a nickel and dime standpoint. It's like, well, you know, we grab 100 of these and maybe we'll make $10 profit on all the, you know, each one of these, as opposed to just trying to steal one big item. You know, if we can get 100 of these, we'll be okay. And I mean, I'm telling you, you're looking at pictures of this stuff, of the stuff that they confiscated, and it's like 50, 100 of the same thing. Like all these little tubes of makeup. I mean, what are those tubes of makeup? $20, $30, $50?
Depending on the brand, yeah. You could get, I'm assuming you're talking about something like an eyeliner or a mascara, which is like a little tube or a little pencil. But depending on the brand, one of those could cost $25 or $30.
I mean, they robbed, here's the list of everything they robbed. Sephora, Ulta, Macy's, Bloomingdale's, Prada, Bath & Body Works, Victoria's Secret, Sunglass Hut, and Lens Crafters. And everything is small. Everything is stuff that, you know, you're not getting just, especially if they're getting like a big bag full of stuff, you're shoving that thing full. You're not getting just one item. You're getting multiple items. And that's just wild. Like, that's just crazy of all the stuff they had. And I mean, pretty ingenious. I mean, you're stealing it and then you're turning around selling it. Obviously, you're undercutting everybody and you're selling like a legit product. So, you know, in like Amazon and eBay and all that, if you sell something that's too good to be true, people will take the risk to buy it, hoping it's real. And once they get it and they realize it's real, yeah, they're going to come back and buy more stuff. Or they'll tell their friends like, hey, this person has the real stuff. It's not fake. Like, you know, like all you got to do is sell a good product. And if it's too good to be true, people will buy it. People don't worry about the morality of how it came about, you know?
I'm curious as to how much she offered these people to go steal this stuff. Because if you think about it, they're putting a lot on the line. And I know technically, like, stores like this, the staff is told to not stop people who are stealing because, you know, don't risk your life for a purse. But there's a good chance that you can still, like, be detained and get arrested for shoplifting, and that'll just mess up your life forever. So, like, what was she offering in regards to payment to go steal all this stuff? It must have been enough to make people think, yeah, I'll risk it. I'll risk it for the biscuit.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it had to have been. And that's what I'm saying. I'd love to follow up with this story in a few months as the, you know, it's going to go to trial. I'd love to see what happens. I'd love to really hear the nuts and bolts of this thing. She might be on a Netflix movie in a year. You know, you see all those Netflix
this
movies.
This is totally going to be a Netflix series.
Right? It's going to be a Netflix series. The California Girls.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, we found it first. Can we get the rights to it? Can we get the rights to do the Netflix series? Ooh, you can play her. We can put that old lady makeup on you. You know how they make like young people look old? And you can be Michelle Mack.
How old is she? She doesn't look that old.
She's 53.
Really? She looks good for 53.
Yeah, we can, you know, put some wrinkles on you. We can put some wrinkles on you. We can get you a little shorter wig. You know, we can make you look like you had 3 kids. Like, it's we can do it. We can do this. See, we can monetize off of this, and we're doing it the right way.
Yeah, we're being legal.
Ah, we should totally do it.
I'll call Netflix after this.
Call her. Call her from jail. Send her some
makeup. Excuse me, ma'am.
Send her some makeup to bribe her.
Oh, man. What a crazy week.
Yeah, what a crazy week. It's, I don't know. I don't even know what to blame it on. It's just a crazy week. Well, so that's news for March, the week of March 11th, 2024. We're cruising through March. Cruising through the sucker. You know, we're going to be a fourth through the year, right?
Yes. Yeah, quarter of the year. That is the first quarter.
God, wow.
I mean, it's almost Easter. Easter is very early this year. Yeah. St. Patrick's Day is around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
That's this week.
Man.
March Madness, is that happening? That's a thing right now, right?
Yeah, you're getting into the tournaments to get into the big tournament. Yeah, so all the conference championships and all that. NFL free agency, that's a whole other percent that we didn't even talk about.
I don't know anything about that, so
you could know everything about it and you still wouldn't know because it's just too much activity going on. But that's another story for another day. But I think that's going to wrap up news for the week, huh?
I think so.
Let's thank the sponsors. Let's thank Wayspace Audio for the music. Young Ideas, hit them up for your Dish, Google product, and cellular needs. That's going to be it, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's it on behalf of myself and Miss Caitlin.
Hey.
We are Law and Disorder, and we will holler at you guys next time.
Bye.
Later.